We're looking in this lesson at the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. In the last lesson, we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and we surveyed and summarized some of the primary ways in which the Holy Spirit worked in Old Testament times. Today, we're going to begin looking at how the Holy Spirit worked and what the Holy Spirit did in New Testament times. So let's begin today with the book of Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we find John the Baptist preaching. The Bible says that John said these words, "I indeed baptize you with water, unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, John the Baptist mentions three baptisms here. He talks, first of all, about this baptism with water. There's no question what the element is here that John is talking about because he tells us about his baptizing people with water. John the Baptist baptized many people in the Jordan River. The scriptures plainly show in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, and in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, that John the Baptist's baptism was for the remission of sins. That means it was for the purpose of obtaining the forgiveness of sins. So these people were baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River to wash away their sins, to have the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist did not baptize people who had already been saved. John the Baptist baptized people in order to save them. That's what the Bible plainly says in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, and in Luke chapter 3, verse 3. It was for the remission of sins. Now, that baptism followed repentance. It was based on their repentance. Somebody says, well, why does it say here then that he was baptizing with water unto repentance? Well, that's simply because based on the fact that they had repented, and repentance means a change of mind that results in a change of life. But based on the fact that they had repented, they had changed their mind, they were going to be baptized unto or into repentance. That is, they were being baptized into a life of repentance, into a reformed life, into a life where they were going to experience reformation because they had changed their mind. And that's what he's talking about earlier in this context, when he tells these same people in verse 8, to bring forth therefore fruits, meet, or fitting, or worthy of repentance. But let's move on. In Matthew 3, verse 11, he tells them that there is one coming after him who, as he says, is mightier than I. And he says, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Now, obviously, John the Baptist there is talking about Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes. And he says about Jesus, the Messiah, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism here and the baptism with or in fire are two different things. In the context here, especially as you look at it in verse 12, the fire that's being talked about in this context is punishment from God. In other words, that baptism with fire is eternal damnation, eternal punishment in hell fire. It's called a baptism with fire because you see, when you're baptized in something, you are plunged into it. You're overwhelmed by it. You are surrounded by it. And so when a person is baptized in water, that means he is plunged into the water. He's surrounded totally by that water. And when a person is baptized with fire in the last day, that simply means that he is going to be enveloped. He is going to be surrounded. He's going to be overwhelmed in every direction and at every turn by the fires of hell. But the baptism that I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and that I want you to remember, is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, remember those words. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water. But then he said, this one will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And in just a few minutes, we're going to see a passage in the book of Acts that helps us to understand what this means. Now, when we look at the Holy Ghost in the New Testament, we're not at all trying to cover everything that the Holy Ghost did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're not trying to limit what the Holy Spirit did by looking at Holy Spirit baptism. This is just one of those primary works that I wanted to focus on in this lesson. The Holy Spirit did many things in the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit did many things in the lives of these apostles while Jesus was on the earth. So I'm certainly not trying to say that Holy Spirit baptism is the only manifestation or work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We find, for instance, that when Jesus was conceived in the womb, that virgin conception was by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible teaches us that plainly in Luke chapter 1, that which is conceived in Jesus is of the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost brought about Jesus' conception in Mary's womb. We find the Holy Ghost coming upon Jesus, descending upon him like a dove in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. We find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, that Jesus said that he cast out demons by the Spirit of God. We find that the Holy Spirit was in the apostles during the lifetime of Jesus. So the apostles did have some power of the Holy Spirit while Jesus was with them. And in Matthew chapter 10, we find that very clearly. And in other places, we find that these apostles had the power to work miracles, and that power came through the Holy Ghost. So I don't mean to say here, and the Bible certainly doesn't teach, that the apostles had no power of the Holy Spirit until Pentecost Day. However, there was something special that they received that day, and we do want to talk about that for just a few minutes. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And here in Acts chapter 1, we find Jesus assembled with his apostles, which the Bible says he had chosen. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus said, this is the promise that John was talking about. In other words, he's going back to Matthew 3, verse 11, and he's referring to what John the Baptist said in general in that statement. He said, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but, he says in verse 5, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus said baptism in water is one thing, baptism with the Holy Ghost is another. John the Baptist baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And notice that he says that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It's not going to be long. It's just going to be a few days, and you're going to be baptized. Now, I want you to look down at verse 8. Look at Acts 1, verse 8. Just after he says that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, you will receive power. Somebody says, well, didn't they have miraculous power before this? Didn't they heal the sick and cast out demons? Yes, they did. But they're going to receive even more power. They're going to receive special power. Now, when is this going to happen? He said, you will receive this extra, added, special power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yes, the Holy Ghost was in them before. They had been given the Holy Spirit before this time, but they're going to receive even more power from the Holy Spirit in just a short time. And he said, when this happens, notice this in Acts 1, verse 8. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to receive this power, and you're going to witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, what he's talking about there is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he told them to tarry, to wait right there in Jerusalem. Look at that in Acts 1, verse 4. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. You wait there, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Well, let's turn over to Acts 2, verse 1, and we're going to read about how that they did receive the Holy Spirit and what happened after that time. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we find the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it's not going to be many days from now. Well, it hasn't been many days, and we come to Acts chapter 2, and they're in Jerusalem on this major feast day of the Jewish people. And what happens? The Bible says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak in languages that they didn't know before this time. They began to speak in dialects that they had never studied before. Now, that was a miracle. And when they did that, they began to preach. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us, after they had preached, the people said in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's when Peter said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then I want you to notice that the Bible says this, down in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So who received this miraculous power? First of all, it was the apostles. And what we're going to learn in the book of Acts is that the apostles had the power to lay hands on Christians and give them miraculous powers as well. And we call those miraculous powers spiritual gifts. We're going to study that in the next lesson, but what I want to urge you to do is to go back and to read Matthew chapter 3, Acts 1, and Acts chapter 2 as we learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament.